26. It's the third book in the Bible, Leviticus. Leviticus is like the handbook for the Jews, for their religion under the Old Testament covenant. Okay, Leviticus 26. And let's go ahead and pray before we read this. Lord, I do ask you'd help us to understand these words. I do pray you'd help us to understand the doctrine of them back in those days, but yet also help us to see the practical principle for today and what each and every child of God will be facing. I do pray you'd help us to understand the idea here in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a little background. Leviticus is Old Testament doctrine. It's how God made an agreement with the nation of Israel. If they did this, he was going to do that. If they obeyed him, he was going to bless them. If they did not, then he was going to force them or get them in a position almost to force them to consider him. Okay, the creator of this universe has set up some natural laws of life. And if a person violates these natural laws, they will suffer the consequences. Okay, law of gravity. If you don't want to believe in it, that's fine. It's your choice. You know, if you want to pretend you're going to jump off a building and say, I'm not going to be affected by it, I don't care what anybody says, well, you're going to suffer the consequences. So there are some natural laws that God has established, and we will suffer the consequences if it's wrong. If it's right, then we'll reap some blessings. Now, Leviticus chapter 26, you can see it's a long chapter. We're not going to read the whole thing. I got 46 verses. Starting in verse 3 is the positive aspect. So verse 3 to verse 13 is a positive aspect. And then the negative aspect starts in 14 all the way to the end. You say, that's out of balance. Hey, take it up with God. If he wants to be out of balance and be negative like that, that's his choice. Now, verse 3, here's the positive aspect. Now, how we can apply this for us in the New Testament is just simply spiritual application. Okay, and so verse 3 says, if ye, the Y-E is a plural pronoun, that's dealing with the children of Israel, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, okay, obey the Bible. For them, the Bible would have been Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Specifically, very precisely, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Well, I suppose you can throw in Exodus there. Verse 4, okay, if you do these things, if you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, do them, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So why are we having a drought? What God did to the nation of Israel, he will do to almost any nation. Okay, a drought or natural catastrophe, hurricane, tornadoes, are designed by God to reveal to man how weak he is so that he might come to God. So verse 4, that's for Israel. Verse 5, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall by the sword before you by the sword, for I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you, and so forth. Okay, that's the positive side. If the Jews as a body of people obeyed the commandments of God, then that would be the positive aspect. If they as a people freely chose to obey God, that was the benefits. If they chose not, if they used their free choice to reject it, verse 14 gives all the negative aspects and following. And that's a whole list. So basically, the Lord's saying to them, if you freely obey me, okay, this is the benefits. If you don't, I will do this and I will force you by my natural laws. The choice is freedom versus living by freedom or living by force. Now, if you talk to the average American, they think they're free. No, we're not. Okay, they're living in a dream world. Okay, freedom is different than force. We are being forced to do things. Okay, let's see what God was going to say to Israel, verse 14. But if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. That's a modern catchword, terrorism. Terror, they got that from the Bible. Consumption and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes, cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, okay, they're still not listening, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. The seven times is reference to the tribulation. Verse 19, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. So when that happens, food riots. Okay, verse 21, and if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. What is this? Healthcare crisis. That's what it is. America's reaping this. So they got now the plagues. Verse 22, I will also send wild beasts among you. Okay, is that literal natural animals? Is he talking about wild beasts as in spirits infested by devils? Which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And ye will not be reformed, and if ye will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And then so forth. If you want to get more discouraged and depressed, keep reading. Okay, that's for Israel. Now, here's the basic thought today, is you can choose, every individual can choose of their own free accord to follow what the Creator says, or you're going to suffer the consequences for it, and then, in essence, he's going to basically force you to do it. Okay, here's how this works. Many people, especially the young people, foolishly think that if you have rules, standards, convictions, that limits your life. Mom and Dad don't let me listen to this. They don't let me do this. They just don't got no freedom. Okay, so when they have the opportunity, they choose to live with more worldly and fleshly rules. Now, notice I did say rules. Everybody's got rules. Everybody's got convictions. Everybody's got standards. Even those folks down at the Ponderosa Sun Club, when they walk out of there, they put clothes on. Everybody does. I was talking to a young kid down at Purdue a couple years back. He'd lost his tackle box, so he put all his fishing hooks on his face. And so we were talking about some stuff, and he would just saying, well, you got to live this way and do this and do that and live as you want. I said, okay, live as you want. I said, I want to punch you in the face right now. Can I do that? That would make me feel good. And he said, oh, no, 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 no. I said, oh, you do have some rules. You do, don't you? Rules in your ballgame is that I can't inflict pain on you. But yet, if I inflict pain on you, that would make me feel good. But you see, no, no, he had rules. Everybody's got rules. If you look at sports, in sports, the athlete who lives freely within the rules of the game, he tries to master the game with inside the rules, that's the athlete that has freedom. It's playing a game. If a kid says, I don't like the rules of this game, I'm going to do what I want. Well, okay, then you just join hockey. Hockey, you can do what you want. Okay, except hit them upside the head with a stick. Okay, but there's a rule. That's basically their one rule. You can't hit them upside the head with a stick. You can hit them in the legs, in the arms, in the chest, in the feet, and all that stuff, but not in the head. Okay, so a kid plays a sport. He says, I don't like the rules of this sport. So what does he do? He violates the rules. What's the ref do? Blows a whistle, set the bench. He's in slavery now. He's on the bench. He may get kicked out of the game. He may get kicked off the team. The player that abides within the rules is the player that has the freedom. The athlete who ignores or neglects the game will be beaten by his opponent. He's going to lose. Now, here's what God did. God created a situation back years ago in the Garden of Eden. He put a man and a woman there. I'm glad he did that, because if he took two males, nobody would be here. Okay, so he put a man and a woman there, and he set up a situation where these two people were breathed into them the breath of life. They were given a free will. That free will can choose to accept fellowship with God, or that free will can choose evil to rebel against God. He put that within them. That's their freedom. Why did God do that? For two basic reasons. One is to find out who his true friends are. Two, to show off his marvelous grace. He's going to show off how forgiving he is. So we know the story. Adam chose pleasing his wife above pleasing God, took of the fruit. He suffered the consequences, broken fellowship with God. God came looking for him. Adam's hiding, like most people are hiding from God. Okay, and so God found out. He said, did you take that fruit? Yeah, I did. Okay, here's what you got to do. I will forgive, but this is what you have to do to get forgiveness, and then we could fellowship. But, Adam, sorry, you're going to end up in a casket someday. It's just the way it is. You're going to die. You're going to suffer the consequences. And so that's what he set up. So he set up for two basic reasons. To find out who truly loves him, and secondly, to show off his grace. Now, everybody on this planet, sometimes people say, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Yeah, right. Okay, try not stopping at a stop sign. A cop's going to tell you what to do. Okay, he's going to tell you something. Everybody's told to do something. Everybody serves somebody. Okay, if you freely choose to serve the Lord and reap some blessings from the Lord, Satan is going to fight you. Okay, Billy Sunday was probably the last great evangelist we had in our country. Billy Sunday was known for preaching against booze. He was so well known about that Al Capone mocked him, because Al Capone was running Chicago. And a song was written, Chicago's My Kind of Town. One of the stanzas of that song is a mockery of Billy Sunday. Okay, I don't think Frankie Sinatra sang that portion, but it's a mockery of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday is credited, as far as historians say, anywhere from 250,000 people to over 1 million people getting saved under his preaching. And who's going to fight him? The devil's going to fight him. He and Ma Sunday had four children. The oldest, or one of them, died at 40, and the rest died in their 30s. Why? Somebody's fighting them. Person says, well, I don't want the devil fighting me. Okay, well, then he says, I'm going to serve the devil. If you serve the devil, God's going to fight you. He's going to lay down his natural laws, and a person's going to suffer the consequences. Now, if a person says, okay, I don't want God to fight me, I don't want the devil to fight me, I'm just going to serve my own way, live the way I want to live, well, the problem with that is now both of them will fight you. They'll both gang up on you. Why? Because they're both trying to figure out who you really love. So you're not getting out of a fight. It's a matter of who you choose to want to serve. If you would, look in Proverbs chapter 9. In Proverbs 9, you have, 8 and 9, you have the Bible. If it was given vocal cords, this is what it would say. In Proverbs 9, the first 12 verses, you have a contrast, or the entire chapter is a contrast between the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world. So you have a contrast. They both start with the same, at the same place. If you would look in verse 4 and verse 16, you will see they are identical verses. So if you need to memorize two verses, there you go. You get two birds with one stone. Now, verse 4, it says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him." The "she" in that context is the wisdom of heaven, starting in verse 1, 2, and 3. That's her talking. In verse 16, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him." Who is this "she"? This is the wisdom of the world, personified by a foolish woman in verse 13. So you have the same verse. Now here's the starter. Now what is the first "she" offering? The wisdom of God says in verse 5, "Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." You'll get to understand some things. Now notice this portion, wisdom, is offering her bread. That's a picture of the Bible, picture of the Word of God. And her wine, that's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. God is offering his blood for our cleansing. So God, the wisdom here, is God offering of his own accord to you and I. The foolish woman of verse 13, notice what she offers. Verse 17 says, "Stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." She is offering stolen goods. And she's offering to do something wicked in secret, privately, without somebody that you respect would know. What is the end result of that one? Verse 18, "But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are the depths of hell." That's interesting. They start in the same place. Now, God's goal for every single person is everlasting love, joy, and peace. Satan's goal for every single person is everlasting hatred, sorrow, and destruction. He's come to steal, to lie, and to destroy. These are the choices that a person can make. You can choose to live by freedom, or you can choose to live by force. That's the choice. Sometimes a child will say, "I don't want to be told what to do." Okay, then do it before you're told. The difference is either self-discipline or somebody else disciplining you. Do it yourself. If you don't like being told what to do, do it yourself. Do right. Get in the Bible. Find out for yourself and do the right thing without being told. Okay, now here's some thoughts I want to give you about this choice between freedom and force. The first thought is this. The beginning of the new birth, okay, for a person to get born again, is a choice of freedom. To freely choose or accept or reject Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 22 verse 17 says, "Unto them come, the Spirit and the bride say come, and let him that heareth say come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will drink of the water of life freely." Okay, so you have a free choice. You can accept or reject Christ. What you could do is by getting on your knees and praying to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him. Romans chapter 10, verse 19, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Okay, now I'm not saying you have to get on your knees. I'm not saying that. That's what Romans 10, 9 says. Okay, and most people understand that if you get on your knees, you're in a position to pray, but you don't have to have that position to pray. But still the idea is that a person can freely come to Jesus Christ and confess him. If a person freely rejects that offer, that pardon, lives their life out to the end, dies, goes to hell, then they will be forced individually, each and every one of them, to bend their knee and confess Jesus Christ. Every single one of them. If you would, you'll find the authority for that in Philippians chapter 2. Satan himself will be forced to get on his knees in front of Jesus Christ and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Philippians chapter 2. Now, the choice is you could freely do it now or in your life. Freely do that and accept the great blessing. Or you can be forced to do it. And after you're forced to do it, you will say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Lord will say, bite him hand and foot and throw him in, cast him in outer darkness. That's the choice. Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, specifically for the believer, it's confessing Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's a confession. This is a satanic confession. Now, that's the start of it for the born-again believer. Okay, now it's very interesting about the Lord Jesus Christ. The first time he was here, if you remember the story, he fed 5,000 people. It says 5,000 men, beside women and children. You could probably up it to 20,000. Fed them. Okay, fed them from 5 loaves, 2 fishes. After he did that, the people got together and wanted to force Jesus to become their king. You say, well, that'd be a good thing. Yeah, but not at that time. No force involved with him. Not in that time. First coming, it had to be freedom. Your life here on earth, you have to freely accept Jesus Christ. Once he forces you, it's not a go. Because he doesn't know you got, he doesn't have your heart. He's making you do something. You see? And so it's got to be freely accepting of Christ. That's the starter. Now, the second thought is this. The growth of the born-again believer toward your personal relationship is also a choice of freedom. To personally walk with Jesus Christ. Okay, now, after a person gets saved, now you got a Savior, so now you can fellowship with Him, you can freely pray to Him and freely read His Bible and freely try to please Him and freely try to live a holy life and try to develop a close relationship with Him. Well, that's a reasonable thing to do, but sadly, a lot of people don't do it. Now, if a child is raised in a house that the parents were saved and a child was protected by the parents and everything, there is going to be a natural curiosity about what's going on the other side of the fence. Several years ago, I saw this little comic picture. It was a lot of these, I'd see these things at Charlie's Repair Shop growing up, is a place where farmers went to get their things fixed. He had all these funny things on the wall. And there was one that had 4 pastures divided by a fence, and there's a crisscross in a fence, so there's 4 places right there. And there were 4 cows, 1 in each pasture. Each cow reached through the fence, was eating the grass from the other side. Not one cow was eating their own grass in her own pen, they were eating it from the others. Why? It's a natural thing for a person to think, curiosity, what's on the other side of the fence. So if a child is raised in a home, like an Amish kid, when an Amish kid is, riding his little scooter down the street, or the one Amish boy that rides his scooter over to Roy's house and then gets in his four-wheel drive truck and rides over to work, because he's in that stage of where he's got to decide if he's going to be Amish or not and grow his beard. Until then, he can have anything goes. He's got a car, he's got a truck, but he has to ride his little scooter from his house to the Roy's place in order to get into it. They can't have it on the Amish farm. Okay, Amish family knows all this stuff. One of the Amish people we know, they have the one kid who's in that stage of deciding. He's got the TV, the VCR, everything right in the house. And all the Amish go and watch it because it's an English house and they got about a year to change the electrical stuff. Okay, the Amish have a lot, they have a problem with trying to keep their fold in. So do Bible believers. We got the same problem. Why? Satan paints a pretty picture. Watch the Super Bowl game, probably the funniest commercial, they're beer commercials. Why, they're painting a pretty picture, aren't they? Are they going to paint a car accident after DUI? No, they're not going to paint that. Are they going to paint a guy in jail who spent everything he had? One time I talked to a guy in jail, he said, two dimes, that's all the money I got to me because I've been serving Lord Calvert. I said, good Lord, you got. You see? They're not going to paint that picture. Why? They can't sell it like that. Are they going to paint the picture of the Kennedy family, the Kennedy curse family, because the old man Kennedy was a bootlegger? The curse placed on his family? No, they're not going to tell you about all that stuff. How about the Coors family out in Colorado? They're going to tell you about them? Or the Bush family and all the death that occurs within their family because they made a living off the booze? No, they're not going to tell you all that stuff. They can't sell it. You see? And so they're going to make a pretty picture. The world paints a pretty picture in the beginning, but it always ends in tragedy. Now, some of you got saved later in life. You were on the other side of the fence. You got tired of the world. You saw it. Moses lived it for 40 years. Now, some parents are foolish if they tell their kids and they say, you see that? That's not fun. Don't tell them that because it is fun. They're not laughing for nothing. I mean, the next morning, they don't know what they did. Okay? But the Bible says there is pleasure for a season. Moses saw that for 40 years. Moses had the riches of education. He had all the military training. He had everything on the Egyptian side because that's he was raised in Pharaoh's house. He saw it all. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 says that Moses chose rather to suffer the afflictions of the world than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He'd been on that side of the fence. Now the prodigal son? A lot of people say the prodigal son was a wicked kid. How do you know that? Said, well, he spent his money on righteous living. That's what his brother said. Just curious. Could have been a curious kid. Oh, man, look at that. They look like they're having a good time. Oh, it does look like that, doesn't it? And they sometimes just want to test the waters. And the prodigal son had the money, and he had a bunch of friends when he went into the bar. Man, he had the money. He was paying for it. When all the money ran out, he found out. And it says that the prodigal son came to himself. He realized what he had when it was gone. A lot of times a person doesn't realize what they have while they have it. Mom and dad at home, love each other, trying to serve the Lord. What about those guys? Yeah, what about them? You see, that's the problem. The prodigal son came to himself. Nobody lives without restraints. Nobody. Sometimes a child will say, well, we just got all these things, I can't do anything. Yeah, but everybody has restraints. Some are forced to live within God's rules. Some choose to do it freely. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the reproofs or instruction are the way of life. A reproof is a chewing out. Nobody likes to get chewed out. But the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's just life. Some people read in the Bible and they read this passage in 2 Timothy where they say, I don't want to go to church. They tell me I'm wrong, and the Bible tells me I'm wrong. Yeah, that's what the Bible's telling us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So I'm tired of that reproof and correction. Well, Jeremiah chapter 2, 19 says that your backsliding shall reprove you and correct you. You're not going to get out of reproof and correction. It's either freely accepting the correction from the Bible or forcefully accepting correction through your backslidings. It's by force. Laws are designed to control the lawless and the wicked by force. A person can choose to freely treat his fellow man properly, or he can choose to get mad and angry at him and murder him. And what will happen to him? Well, if it was a Bible thing, he is to be convicted of his crime and he will to be forcefully shot dead. Why? He's obeying a Bible rule, the death sentence. In our culture, they stick him in a cage for years. Okay, if a guy says, well, I want that product, I want to steal that. Okay, so you could steal that freely of your choice. You get caught, you're arrested, throw it in a pokey, pay it back. Again, in the Bible, it's not throw him in a pokey, make him pay it back. Make him slave, pay it back until he pays it off. You see, a person can freely choose or can be forced to choose. Financial discipline. Americans think that because the government can just spend money out of thin air and keep printing it and get away with it, they're not getting away with it. They're not going to get away with it. They can push it off for a time, but when the money goes bad and all fiat currency goes bad, and when it goes bad, boy, are we going to see a mess going on in this country. But when people say, okay, I want to spend, I want that product, I want to spend it, I got a plastic card, I'm just going to spend it, I'm going to spend it, I tell you, you're going to be forced to live within your means. You will be forced to. If you do not discipline yourself, save up money, pay cash for items, you will be forced. You will be enslaved by the interest rates. You will be enslaved by your plastic card and probably even face bankruptcy. It's either freely disciplining yourself or be forced to discipline yourself. That's the choice. And that second one, ooh, that second one's expensive. You okay, young people, you can personally discipline yourself. If you're praying for a future spouse, you can personally discipline yourself. Pray, wait on God, and stay pure. Or you can be curious of the world, yield to your flesh, and reap corruption. Divorce, disease, AIDS. What is AIDS? Is that a curse? That's God's blessing. AIDS is God's punishment. It is a natural punishment when a man doesn't do right with his body. The average American, they're just out of their gourd. They think that they're just a victim of everything. It's about like getting in your car and putting water in a gas tank. Say, I don't know why the thing's not running right. I don't get it. It's liquid like gas is liquid. I don't see what's wrong with it. I mean, our body is designed to do certain things. A person can personally discipline their eating habits. Be very cautious about what you eat. Study it out. Search it out. Read the ingredients. When you go to the grocery store, read the ingredients. Oh, it's by a reputable company, international company. I wouldn't trust those clowns. They care for my health. Oh, yeah, right. Go kid somebody else. Okay, you can study and eat to live, or you can just eat anything, stick anything in your body, trust the world's diet, food, live a sickly life, and die a premature death. That's a choice. One is forced, one is a free choice. You say, yeah, but if you eat right, you're still going to get sick. Yeah, but there's a difference. There is a difference between recognizing certain things that you can fix your own body, give your body the right things. Our body is designed to operate properly when it's given the right food. A person can reap what they sow. They can do it on either side of the coin. Okay? And so the idea is freely choose. Freely choose, follow God's rules, regulations, and then you get these blessings. Or say, I'm just going to live the way I want to live. Okay? Then we'll reap the consequences. Now, here's the basic difference between God and the devil. If you would, look in Galatians chapter 6. The basic difference, this is very basic, difference between God and Satan is God wants you and I to deny yourself first. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. God says, deny yourself first. Deny your fleshly appetites. Deny your wants and your wishes. Deny yourself first, and then blessings are a byproduct of the denial. The devil says, indulge yourself first. Live the way you want. It feels good. Go ahead. Indulge yourself. And then the byproduct is slavery. Kid says, I'm going to take this dope. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try this. Okay, go ahead, try it. You know, you must be a miserable person. You can't deal with life. And so they start that route, and then what happens? They become a slave to it. They become a slave to it, and then they go to this doctor, and that doctor, and this doctor, and that doctor, this doctor, that doctor, and they're on drugs to the day they die. Brains fried. Why? Natural consequence. How does salvation work? Okay, a person denies themselves in salvation. A matter of salvation, I know I'm no good. I know I got pride. I know I'm a sinner. I know anything that I try to do that's good, it's right, it's no good compared to Jesus Christ. I'm denying myself. I humble myself. And I come to Jesus Christ and get eternal life. And that's a good deal. The other side of the coin, a person says, well, my church is as good as yours. Well, I got baptized. Well, I took the sacraments. I go to the priest and confess my sins. Well, I can speak in tongues. I can do that. I can do this. I can do that. My religion is as good as yours. I can sit cross-legged and go home. You know, I can just deny myself, you know, and try to look good. You know, I'm just as good as Jesus. Yeah, right. And the Lord says, okay, depart from me, cursed and everlasting fire. The Lord says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Okay, and then blessings are the result. The devil says, indulge yourself. And then the end result will be slavery. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The reaping is more than what this person sows. Now, that's often just used in a negative sense. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's the negative sense. The other side of the coin, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's the other side of the coin. Now, there's obviously an exception in this rule. This is a general rule, but there's an exception that when a person tries to live right and try to please the Lord Jesus Christ and lives a pattern of that, the Lord will test them. There will be testings, which some people would say, well, they're getting judged by God. No, no, no. There's a difference between a test and judgment of God. And that's down the road. But generally speaking, basically between the Lord and the devil is the Lord says, you can freely choose me, you can freely reject me. But when you reject me, these are some natural laws, some natural consequences. These are the consequences. Okay, and why do I do that? Because I really want you to come back to me. I really do. You see, if you reject me and you're going to go down this part, I'm going to put pressure on you. And I'm going to put some more pressure on you. And I'm hoping that you repent and get right, come back to me because we can have good fellowship. But if you don't, I'm going to put more pressure on you. Why? Because I want you back to me. And if I need to, I'm going to destroy that body of yours. I'm going to put you in a bed where you're looking face up. So you're looking toward me. If I have to destroy that body to save your spirit, I'll do it. Because in the end result, that body, you're going to get a new body anyway. And so you're going to get, that spirit is what I'm interested in. So that's how the Lord works with it. And that's His grace. His grace is that He gives us an opportunity to come back. That's the amazing thing about the God of the Bible. These are the basic difference between God and Satan. A person can choose to serve God. The devil will resist him and fight him. He chooses to serve the devil, and God will fight him. He chooses to serve himself. Both of them are going to fight him. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us recognize that we can freely choose thee, and I pray you'd help us to freely choose thee. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to love you, love your word, and by chance if somebody in this room is not born again, is not saved, have never trusted the Lord Jesus, they might see their desperate need of thee. Help them to recognize that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Denial of self. Humble ourselves to come to the Lord Jesus Christ freely. Where heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, never place your faith and trust in Him. I mean sincerely within your heart, place your faith and trust in Him. You can trust Him. You must deny yourself, humble yourself, come to Jesus Christ by faith. And at that moment, He gives the person eternal life. And then after that, you develop a relationship with Him where you could freely fellowship with Him. The instruments will play, the altar's open. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know how, by an uplifted hand, we could have somebody help you with that. Anybody don't know how, you'd like to know the Lord Jesus, by raise a hand, we'll just have somebody come by and show you. A person can live freely. The psalmist said, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. If a person doesn't walk in liberty, they will be slaves. No choice in the matter. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to freely serve you, freely love you, freely read your word, freely try to come to you, seek your holiness, your love. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to do that. And Lord, help us recognize that when we get out of sorts, get deceived by the ways of the world, that we might come back to thee and receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ and be faithful to thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're dismissed.